I know that many people will think this is fake, and I will get judged for what I'm about to say, including you, Raven. You will judge me.
Well, that's my job, really.
But I prayed to St. Anthony, and he answered my prayers almost immediately.
Yeah, that's it. That's what happens. You've got a private pipeline, right? You picked up the bat phone,
yep.
Rang in St. Anthony,
told
and immediately the clouds parted.
Yep.
The skies opened up, and this thing that you needed was it transpired. It happened.
Okay. So I went on vacation, and this is going back in mid-August, and there is a special box I bring with me that I bring my real jewelry in, right?
Okay.
And I am very protective of this box for obvious reasons.
That would make sense.
I have a very much specific protocol on where I store it in the luggage, how I transport it, all of that. I get home, and that box is nowhere to be found. So now I'm missing some things, you know, things that my husband had given me, earrings, also a bracelet from Italy that my parents got me when I was young that I absolutely adore. But the number one most important thing was my grandfather's chain. I had my grandfather's chain in there, which I wear a lot. I love it.
Okay.
I can't find this box anywhere. Where I store it, it's not there. And I know there is no way I left it at the hotel. And my husband's giving me a hard time. And he was like, you definitely left it. You made a mistake. So I'm going crazy for weeks. I go, no, it has to be home. So finally, my mom goes, oh, my gosh, did you pray to St. Anthony?
Right. Of course. Thank you, Mom, for making this clear to me.
And if you're not familiar, St. Anthony is the patron saint of lost things. Now, some people say that you're supposed to say, St. Anthony, you dirty crook, give me back what you took. I always thought that was rude, so I would never say that out loud. I just like pray normal. So I go, all right. So I'm driving home after talking to my mom about it. And it took me a long time to tell my mom that I had lost the chain, because that's like, you know, it's her dad. It's a big deal, you know?
Sure.
On the way home in the car, I prayed. And I said, I'll pray again tonight when I do the real praying, you know, because there's different levels of prayers.
So right. This one, you're actually distracted. You're driving.
Yeah.
You're going down the road. I mean, you've got a hands free to God, but, you know, right. When you get home, you'll be actually on your knees and it'll be real.
So I get home and I say the prayer and I get out of bed. And I don't know what made me go do this. I get out of bed and I walk over to my dresser. And I swear to you, that box is in front of my face. It is in front of my face. It was in plain sight. I don't know the whole time or if St. Anthony just put it there for me.
I mean, you know what happened, right?
What?
It was the first thing you took out of your bag because you're so concerned about it most times. And you put it right there. And then you were so overwhelmed with all these other things that you could just skirt right by it. And the anxiety goes up and up and up. When you're looking for something, you'll pass right over it.
2 weeks I looked for it, Raven.
Uh-huh. And then you prayed and you found some focus. You found some zen and your mind told you right where it was. You could have meditated. Same thing would have happened.
If you're listening, St. Anthony, thank you.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Checking in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband this past week. How was girls' weekend?
It was great, Anna. It was wonderful, right until Hurricane Fiona showed up.
Oh, no. You got stuck in Fiona?
No, we were lucky. Our flight was actually scheduled to leave that afternoon at 12 o'clock. And thank God, because the 3, 4, 5 o'clock flights were getting canceled while we were at the airport.
Yeah, I was in the Dominican Republic during Irene. And it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. It was crazy. We were basically confined to our room.
Yeah, if you've ever been in a storm on an island before, it's a lot of fun to watch and whatnot right until it's not.
Yeah.
And then you're running for your life.
And then you understand why all the buildings are made of concrete. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I saw photos from after and like rooms were flooded, ceilings were caving in. I read comments about how they didn't show up with dinner, so people hadn't eaten since lunch the afternoon before. It was pretty crazy. I'm glad we missed that part.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, but you got a big weekend lined up. Raven is so pumped about Demolition Derby.
Oh my God. So am I. I'm getting t-shirts next year, Anna. I sent my son a photo and I was like, I'm sorry ahead of time, but this is happening next year. I don't think he's crazy about it, but I'm getting Derby Mom shirts.
Alicia wanted so badly to stop Jordan from doing this. I mean, she did not want him competing in these demolition derbies. And then, you know, he went out and he won the first one he was really entered in. Like, he had one where he had some car trouble. So we don't count that one because he drove for all of 30 seconds in that one. But the next one he went into, he won. And now she's like completely insane about it. We're living at the fair this weekend.
Oh, we are. Definitely. And they charge. So it's super expensive. We have to get pit passes. There's no actual pit, Anna. It's a field where they park their cars until they go into the demolition derby ring. And to walk over there and take a photo of my son and give him a kiss and tell him good luck, because now that's my tradition. I have to do it. We have to pay for these wristbands every single night.
That is a racket if I ever heard one.
Alicia actually last night starts talking in my ear about, do you think you could call the production company or whatever and tell them that you need a media pass?
A media pass
that's
to the
real
demolition
thing.
Derby.
The real thing that she said, that she thought that I could call this national production company and tell them, hey, listen, my name's Raven and I'm going to need a media pass.
Hey, do you know who I am? I mean, come on.
Come on.
You want a lanyard VIP backstage pass.
Yes.
For the demolition derby at the fair.
Well, that's her other idea.
With my derby mom shirt.
That's her other idea, is that actually I just wear passes, lanyards from old events that we've done or whatever, and then just try and stroll right in.
I don't know if that's a real thing.
That's what I said.
Yeah, you got to pay to get in the fair, and then you got to pay for these wristbands per person per night. Like, it's crazy. And then you got to eat while you're there. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a lot.
Sounds like that T-shirt budget is not doing too good. Right, that's what it sounds like.
Well, that's for next year. That's for next year. I don't have time to have one made before tonight, I don't think.
No.
Okay. So how's Raven been behaving as a husband?
I mean, he's been good. I haven't had much time to focus on him, to tell you the truth. Between the trip and, you know, the demolition derby, I'm kind of wrapped up in my own little world right now. But he's been good. I think he's been good. He didn't do much of anything while I was gone.
All right. So what kind of grade would you like to give him for the week?
I'm going to give him a B, Anna.
B is good, Raven.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I have to do to get an A, seeing how I sent her to a tropical beach
No, I'll
vacation.
Tell you what you got
to
do. Get her the VIP backstage lanyard to the demolition derby.
It's not a thing.
Absolutely.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's good to vent. Who says you got to hold it all in? Let it out. What is driving you nuts right now? 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that is all I need to know about you. Peter.
Yeah, if you're one of those women that likes to wear high heels, but obviously you're going to hurt yourself, but you wear them anyway, that's all I need to know about you.
Fashion is pain.
I know it is, but like, you see those people sometimes that they look like they just, it's like a baby gazelle. It's like the first time they ever walked on this earth.
Anytime my wife puts on a pair of heels, I'm like, are you trying to go to the doctor?
Yeah, some people should just quit while they're ahead.
I'm saying, just wear some flat shoes and be comfortable. Why do we have to do this to each other?
Dylan, that's all I need to know about you.
I'm a server, and if you sit hours after paying the check just sitting there, that's all I need to know about you.
I feel so bad for the people that work at like IHOP or Denny's or anywhere breakfast, right? Because once I retire, there's a chance that I'm going to eat breakfast there and then I may take a nap.
And just live there?
Yeah.
Right.
And my breakfast is going to cost $2.50.
Right.
I mean, I've been a great tipper my entire life, but I'm not sure I will be at that point. I'll be on a fixed income. Mm-hmm. But that seat is going to be molded to my butt.
I'm a restaurant kid. My parents have restaurants, so I grew up in the restaurant business. And this is a real problem because, especially if you have a small place, you got to turn the tables because you got to make the money, right?
Sure. You got rent to pay.
Oh, I mean, I used to have a whole thing because I used to host. And I used to have like a whole protocol of what we would do. So the first thing I would do is I would have them clear everything off the table except for the water glasses. Mm. You know, you wait and then you offer them a drink at the bar, right? You have to buy them around, like, which is like obnoxious enough, but okay. Then, you know, you stare at them the whole time. You never stop staring. And then if they don't take the hint, you go and you remove the water glasses from the table. So there is not a single thing left on the table.
There's nothing there.
And then when all else fails, I would call my uncle, Zio Damian, in the back, and he would come out with the broom. And he would just start sweeping around them. And that would be how we got them to leave. Now, I don't say that you should do that at your restaurant, but I'm saying it was effective.
I mean, but at closing time, that's one thing.
Well,
but when he comes out and aggressively starts sweeping at 1 in the afternoon.
No, it would be like 7:30 because the next wave of diners were coming in for the second seating on a Saturday night. And you need these people to get up.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yep. Emily, that's all I need to know about you.
If you bring your kids to R-rated movies, that is all I need to know about you.
What decade are we talking about? Are we talking about right now? Because you are absolutely 100% right.
No, Raven.
Are we talking about 1987?
No.
When Dad brought me to go see Predator? Are we talking about 1985?
Or 9 and a half weeks.
Oh, 9.5 weeks seems like a lot, but wow, who took you to see that?
What?
Yeah, that's that Mickey Rourke flick. You don't remember that?
No.
What was it, Kim Basinger? Oh, man. Woo!
Oh, man.
So here, my rule is my oldest daughter, Hayden, is 13 now. So she's old enough to see an R-rated movie if it's a comedy. Because to me, that's okay. If it's a scary movie, then I won't let her watch it because it'll give her nightmares. It'll also give me nightmares.
We had this discussion.
Yeah.
Step Brothers. Yeah. Inappropriate.
I let her watch Ted last weekend.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We're going to watch Almost Famous, too, because it's going on Broadway, and I want to eventually go see that.
I feel like that is easier than all the rest you've mentioned.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it's like if it's a comedy film, she knows everything now. What are we like trying to hide from her? Sure. There's some times when I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm going to have to explain that after. Yes. But I feel like it also opens the floor for dialogue. But oh. The scary movies, no. You don't need to see the gore. It'll just stay with you forever and haunt you.
So wait a minute. A fake slasher film is better than John C. Reilly or Will Ferrell's exposed scrotum on a drum set.
No, the scrotum is better. Yes. Yes. All right. The return of Fired Friday. Call 1-800-330-9999. Tell us about something that went wrong at work, and then everybody just guesses whether or not you actually got fired for it. Again, that's 1-800-330-9999. What happened at your job, and did you get fired?
I had this table that I was serving, and I kind of lied to get the job about how well I am at fine dining. So we were supposed to have our own, like, corkscrew. And I thought it was, like, a little thing. I could, like, learn and pick up these things. Went up to a table and tried to open it. It took me forever to try to open this wine bottle because I've never had opened a wine bottle before. And so it was just really embarrassing, and it took forever. And so I just figured, like, oh, whatever. They won't notice that.
So hold on. Raven, I actually worked at a place where we had to have our own wine bottle opener.
Mm-hmm. It's first night, so I'm going to guess no. First night, no. But not having one is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I'm going to say you got disciplined but not fired. Were we right?
I got fired.
Oh!
It's a nice joint.
I mean, I don't know if that was the specific reason why, but that definitely didn't help.
Oh, my gosh.
It sounds like a nice place is all I'm saying. Sounds like a nice place. They've got a good standard, and they're sticking to it. Wow.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened at your job?
I used to be a barista, and I was so bored at that job, and I was entertaining myself by drawing inappropriate things on the cups and in the foam, you know, where they usually put like a leaf or something. I was putting some suggestive things in the foam.
Like in the top of the latte?
Yeah, the design. Oh, you know how they usually like make a leaf?
I'd almost be amazed, like, if I found some cool artwork in there. That wouldn't bother me at all.
Unless it looked like
whatever.
God only knows
what. Oh, whatever.
But you also drew on the cups inappropriate things?
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Well, a few times.
I think you get fired for that.
Well, I think if you get caught doing the drawing on the outside of the cup, you're fired. But if it's a question, if you kind of, like, do it subliminal in the middle of something, I'm going to guess you kept your job.
I did keep my job.
See that?
Luckily, I had a pretty chill boss. And, you know, he was like, you need to knock that off.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
Right. That'll do it for the sexual latte designs that you're putting out here. That'll do it for that. But it was crafty. I know. Very creative when you first came up with it. Right.
Very sixth grade. That's what it is. Yeah.
And Raven, what happened at your job?
Okay. I was a line cook a couple of years ago. We were closing up the restaurant. It was just me and another guy. Right 10 minutes before we closed, we had a table come in. We had already put everything up in the walk-in. We had cleaned up the whole kitchen, so we had to reopen everything, right? So we make these dishes for these people on the way out of the kitchen. Because we had just mopped, we slipped. The plates went right into the trash can. So we were, like, freaking out. You know, it took, like, 20 minutes to cook both of these dishes. It was a fresh trash bag. We went ahead and just took everything out of the trash and put it back on the plate, sent it out for the people to eat. So after the shift, the waitress went behind our backs, called the boss, and told him what we did.
Oh, you got fired.
Yeah, you definitely got fired.
I mean, you got fired. Dude, food went in the trash.
It was a clean bag. He said it was a clean bag.
I mean, tell me you got fired, man. Tell me you got fired, or I'm going to be nervous about where I'm eating today.
I think you're going to be nervous about where you eat for the rest of your life, my friend.
You get fired. Oh,
I'll work
my
here
God
for another 6 months.
Oh, no. Man. And people need a good line cook. I know it's hard to find a good line cook. But
a lot of people are hiring. A lot of people are hiring.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you know you're going to hell for it. But
oh, yeah. Three times. Yeah.
The return of Fired Friday. Oh, it's a fun game. Here's how it works. Call 1-800-330-9999. Tell us about something that went wrong at work, and then everybody just guesses whether or not you actually got fired for it. Taylor, what happened?
Well, I was working reception at this plumbing company, and I was dating my boss's son. And he found out I was kind of seeing one of the plumbers. You know, we kind of had some little intimate time, and yeah. So I got fired.
So wait a minute.
Hold on.
You were dating the son.
You were dating the boss's son.
Yeah. And then you were seeing one of the other plumbers?
Right.
Well, I mean, that's a, you know, that's kind of an
odd. Come on, plumbers are hot.
I mean, I don't know that. I don't know that at all. Maybe I haven't seen enough plumbers recently, but I'm not sure that plumbers are hot. I feel like plumber hands are disgusting.
Okay.
That's me.
Yes. But do you get fired for that? I mean, can you get fired? You have to find another excuse to get fired. But I think if it's a mom and pop place, gone.
Yeah, they fire you, of course.
So did you get fired?
They basically were like, we don't have any more shifts for you because we're kind of cutting back and all of that. So I pretty much got the hint.
Right.
And I just left. So.
And that's the last time you slept with the boss's son's coworker.
Right. Exactly.
Lesson learned. You know, plumbers, though. Mm-hmm. So hot.
Sarah, Fired Friday. What happened?
So I wait tables, and I was clearing off a bunch of tables, like doing pre-bussing, which I normally have to do. And a woman stopped me as I was heading back to the kitchen and asked for me to take her dishes as well. My hands were full, and I basically just said, when I'm able to grow a third arm, I will be able to do that for her.
Okay, wow. Do you get fired for making a snide comment to the customer?
You might. You certainly might. How long did you work? You know what? I can't ask a follow-up question.
It's tough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you might have. You at least, I got to make you scarce at least for the next hour or so, unless I really, really, really need you. That's the thing about a restaurant.
Obviously, the right answer is I'll be right back, you know, and then you drop it off and go right back. I think you get fired for that if they complain.
Sure.
What happened?
I got fired.
Yeah.
I got fired.
Yep.
Yeah.
At the moment, when you said that comment, you were like, you know what? She deserved that. Mm. And then right after, while you were walking out, with your apron back in the back room, you were like, what am I, an idiot?
You're right.
You're like,
yeah. It did feel very good in the moment. And then I go, I think that might have done me in. And I was right.
Yeah. I've got bills to pay. Right. That's what happens when you leave. Right.
Alex, what happened at work?
All right. It was, to my defense, it was after a big football game. And I came into work, I thought, sober enough. But apparently my boss didn't agree.
Are you a teacher? Like, what's your job? I think that is a big factor here.
No. I mean, it's I work in construction, so it's not, you know, but still, there's safety issues, I guess.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I mean, if you fall off a building, right, or, you know, sawzall off a couple of your fingers, right, that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say you got fired. Did you get fired?
No. Luckily for me, my boss, he felt my pain.
Yeah, I mean, it's construction. Go home. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. He sympathized. Yeah. He's like,
I understand why you drink, so I won't judge you today. But don't do it tomorrow. But I'll see you tomorrow.
It's a dangerous hobby, and I can't believe, Raven, that you're supporting your son in it.
Well, here's the thing. My wife was so resistant to this a few weeks ago when he first got started, but this is Jordan's first Demolition Derby fair season. It's fair season here, Anna. And you know what? He came out and he won his first one that he's in. Mm. Well, if we don't count the one where he didn't win, but he got into a first one.
What?
And then he got like hit, and then it hit an automatic shutoff switch in his car. It was kind of a rookie error that we made that time, and he only drove for like 30 seconds, so we don't count them. But the next day he went back and he won.
Well, when you don't give up, you succeed.
Yes.
But I've never been to a demolition derby.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Yeah. You just ram cars into each other?
Yeah, that's basically it, right? Okay. They set them all up, they hit a timer, and then everybody rams into each other. So this is actually, this weekend is like what would I consider our hometown fair. It's the biggest fair in our region, and it's just about 3 minutes from our house. And we do this every single year as vendors or whatever, too. So we've been involved in it for a long time. So it's a very proud moment for us. First thing you got to know, Anna, when you're going to the Demolition Derby, you got to find yourself a winning car. Luckily, this time we had this nasty Pontiac Bonneville. Listen to this thing come off the trailer.
Sounds mean. Oh, yeah, what do you think your chances are tonight?
Hopefully we win.
So cool about it. It's just collected. Hopefully we win. I want to let you know that we got that car from an 80-year-old gentleman whose children took the keys away from him and told him he couldn't drive anymore.
Hold on.
I swear to God, it was a daily driver like a week ago. It was a large Pontiac Bonneville.
Okay. So you just collect people's old cars that they don't want anymore?
Yeah, and then we have to pull stuff off of it and cut them off and whatnot. His dad's actually been like welding like crazy, so it's biological. He's like the welder. So we got like a whole pit crew now. It's like a whole thing.
All right.
Everybody's in now at this point, by the way. Then, of course, it's time for the start of the Derby. And what do? They do the national anthem, and they line up all these cars across from each other with their backs facing to each other, and then they count it down, and it's action time, Anna Zapp.
Count, everyone. Seven cars. Ten, four, three, go. Let's hear it.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Go! 30 out of the shot. 30.
That's
like
Jordan.
I like that you just come, five, four, three.
Yeah, well, like three Bud Lights and a couple fireballs that you snuck in, too. Why not, right?
This is definitely a world I know nothing about.
Car number 30. I mean, just listen for this. And the action continues. So there's a timer on there, right? So you can't, like, park or play possum. You got to go at it. And there's an ultimate timer, too. So obviously they have to get down to, you know, the last two cars. They win the heat, and then they go into the championship round.
How many cars start in the Demolition
Derby?
There
was eight cars in this round. And it was it was brutal, as you can hear. But here the action picks up.
Four of them, five of them.
Oh, it was 5 feet in the air.
Oh, man. Oh,
come on, Jordan.
All you got, that's going to be it.
Yes.
30, Jordan Stinky.
I'm telling you, man, he was like 5 feet in the air at one point. That car jumped over.
Yeah.
And he won.
Yeah.
He won again.
Yeah.
This is his second Demolition Derby victory of the season. Next year, we are coming back with uniforms.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be absolutely insane.
I mean, I'm glad. I hope he stays safe.
Tonight is the figure eights. If you're going to the fair, we'll see you there.
Very exciting time for my 3-year-old daughter, Dakota, because she's getting ready for her first ever show and tell.
Oh, boy.
So what are you going to bring to show and tell?
Pictures from my mommy, my daddy, and my sister.
Okay, pictures of all your family. That's so nice. Is there anything else special you're going to bring?
Yeah.
What?
A toy.
Which toy?
My T-Rex.
What does your T-Rex noise make? What does it say?
Roar.
Roar! Yeah.
I'm glad she's bringing the toy because as the kid that's in the first or second row, like, I've seen your parents before. All right, Dakota? I've seen your sister before at pick up and drop off, and I need something that's going to entertain me. So let's get this toy out and pass it around the room.
Remember show and tell? Like, the first time you did it was such a big deal because you got to bring in something personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody here has brought in something special from home for show and tell. Mm-hmm. Let's start with you, Sean, because I keep staring at this creepy thing over here. What did you bring in for show and tell?
Yeah, what is that?
I brought in my wonderful girlfriend for my birthday this year, got me this plush peacock spider.
Your girlfriend got you a plush peacock spider.
Yes. Can you hold that up, please?
She knows that I like spiders a lot, and she doesn't want to buy me a real one yet, so she got me a plush one for now.
Where do you buy a peacock spider for real?
There's plenty of websites, actually.
Wait a minute. A peacock spider is actually a real thing?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
It's a peacock spider.
Google that immediately.
Yep.
My exact question this morning when I saw this in our studio.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
What it does here is it puts its butt up like this, and it shakes it to attract a mate.
Oh, nice.
Is that how you got her?
How is it that she came to know that you were into peacock spiders? Right, is this part of your courtship ritual? That is a disgusting looking thing.
The peacock spider, I Googled it. You have to Google it when you get to work or you get to school, if you're allowed to. Look up peacock spider.
You're going to become one of them spider guys?
Yes, I am.
Oh, become?
But he is a spider
Sean
guy.
Sean has been a spider guy.
Yeah. Yep. Sean is super into spiders. He actually volunteered for, like, getting ready for Halloween month that he wanted to hold a tarantula. I was like, I don't know if that's a real thing, but I'll look into
it. Oh, no, it's a thing. I had a friend that had tarantulas.
And I want Raven to hold it, too.
Yeah. I mean, he probably still has tarantulas. We're not friends anymore. Okay. So that's the end of that story, I guess.
Raven, what did you bring in for show and tell?
I have brought in this strange owl piggy bank that I found. Now, this is this is something for a while after my grandfather passed away. My grandmother got into all sorts of different activities. You remember Marty. She used to do all sorts of different stuff.
Marty was the best.
And one thing that she did was pottery and sculptures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually something that she made. It's got her initials in it, and it's a little like 6-inch owl here piggy bank that she painted and all that stuff. Now, I found this in a box that I was unaware that I even had this until sometime over the past year. I found it in a box in my attic, and she had handwritten my name on the stopper on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear it's full of like half dollars and Susan B. Anthony's, but the slot on the bottom isn't big enough to get them out.
Oh, so you have to break it.
I have to break it to get them out if I don't want to get them out. And here's the thing. I don't know if she wrote my name on it because it was for me and it was my kid piggy bank, or because it's worth a million, gazillion, bazillion dollars. These coins in here, I don't know.
And you can't break it. She painted it. She hand-painted it.
Yes, it's the conundrum.
What are you going to do?
I think I'll just keep it forever and die a rich man and not have known it.
Right. That's their only option.
Yeah.
But how did they get them in there? They just fit in the slot
right here.
Yeah.
So if I get like a pair of tweezers, that won't fit in there.
Nothing will fit. Yeah, we're going to put this all up on our Instagram at Anna and Raven so you can see these for yourself. But I brought in something that when I walked down the hall with it earlier today, everybody backed away slowly. And I don't understand why. It's coming up next. It's show and tell time on the Anna and Raven show. Very excited about it.
Yeah, you are. But, you know, I'm not as afraid as the rest of the people are in the building, it seems to be. But a lot of people are creeped out by what you've brought in.
Yeah, we're going to hold off a second on Emily here, my little buddy. Producer John, what did you bring for show and tell?
I brought in my son's favorite toy, and it is literally a blow-up guitar that we won at a fair.
Oh.
And it's nice. It's nice. For me, though, it's what it represents. And what it represents is an entire adulthood of terrible financial decisions in my life.
Following in your footsteps.
Not the least of which is my decision to attempt to become a professional musician for most of my adulthood. But also the thousands of dollars that I have spent on toys for this kid. Thousands of dollars on musical equipment, electronic drum set, bongos, his own guitar.
Right.
And what is his favorite thing? It is this $5 blow-up fair toy that I won by hitting a mallet on something. And by the way, you'll see a picture of this on Instagram. $5 is still too much money to pay for this thing.
You know,
it's that cheap.
I was going to say, let me ask the question here. You hit the mallet down there. So it was the strongman thing, right? Right.
Yeah.
So did you go for the mini one or did you go for the big one?
Oh, you know, I was going to go for the mini one and then the guy looked at me and he said, oh, you're going to go? You need to go for the big one.
So he made you go to the big one.
He shamed me is what happened.
All of our show and tell items are up right now on Instagram at Anna and Raven. Yeah, no, it's funny. As a parent, it's true. You spend money on these expensive toys and then it's the most random things that sometimes aren't even toys. Like Dakota, like the boxes from Amazon. And when they show up at the door, it's like the happiest thing in the whole world. I'm like, I'm glad I bought you that Melissa and Doug, you know, dollhouse that's 6 feet tall that you never looked at. But for my show and tell, this is Emily. So I like creepy dolls. And
you don't say.
Yeah. And I just feel like nobody wants them anymore. They end up at these flea markets and at Goodwill and all these places, and they don't have homes, and they're sad. And at one point, somebody loved them, and then they don't love them anymore. Now, I went to a flea market a couple weeks ago with my daughter, Hayden, who shares my affinity for all things creepy, and we saw her from, like, a mile away, and she was all by herself. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, look at this poor doll here, you know? So I went to the lady that was in charge, and I said to her, what's the deal with that doll? And she's like, you want her? And I was like, maybe, you know? And I was like, how much? And she's like, whatever you want to give me. I go,
That's not good.
I got like a $5 bill, and I was thinking in my head, there's no way. She's like, okay. And she quickly grabbed the $5 and handed Emily to me. And Emily is going to join my Halloween decorations. She's going to join me at my house. She's been living with the other girls in the basement for the last, I don't know, about a couple weeks since we came home.
The other girls in the basement.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I keep the dolls. That's where I keep the dolls.
Can I just point out that you're cradling this thing like it's your own child? You are actively holding its hand. You're holding its hand right now.
Let me point out that Emily is looking directly at you,
yeah.
John.
Yeah.
So you should be careful.
When I walk around with her and I show her to people, everybody slowly backs away. And I don't really understand why, because, I mean, she's beautiful. What is there not to love about her?
The fact that she's probably haunted?
No.
The pasty skin.
What's going on with the toes?
Her toes look like somebody were biting them. Like, who knows who did that to her?
Oh, it was the dog.
Or a demon, but we don't know. Listen, if you want to see a picture of Emily, you can head to our Instagram at Anna and Raven. And you know what? She'll be joining my Halloween decorations, and she'll have a special place in my home for the rest of her life.
Yeah, make sure that you've got holy water on hand before you view the picture.
She's all right. She's all right with me.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
What'd you do this week to earn your margarita? 1-800-330-9999. It's not easy being in charge of something, whether it's a child or an animal, and that's why this is your chance just to vent and get it all out there. On our text line, Raven, at 1-800-330-9999, I watched my son break his nose for a second time wrestling. He wanted to finish the tournament. I called the pediatric emergency number, and they said, it's not going to get any more broke. Let him finish if he wants. Surgery was 3 weeks later.
God, that all sounds miserable.
Jessica, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I worked 4 different jobs in one day and closed a bar down last night. Wow. So not as a customer, but as a bartender. So, yeah.
That's a long day.
I should
day.
Pour one for myself. Yeah. That's a long day.
Four jobs is a long day.
It started at 6 a.m., so and it just didn't stop. There was just no time to breathe, but I didn't have a breakdown, so I deserve a margarita.
And how good does your bed feel at the end of the night after those days?
Oh, my gosh. I'm out. I'm like when they put you on a spaceship and like all right, we're going to take you to Mars, but you're going to sleep for 5 years. I'm like, that's me. Like, yeah.
Enjoy your margarita. You deserved it.
Thank you. I'll fall asleep in it, but yes.
Grace, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, I received an email yesterday from my daughter's headmaster at school that the bus they were traveling in to a field hockey match got into an accident.
Oh, no.
Everybody was fine. All the girls were fine. But I definitely, feel like I earned my mommy margarita after I got her home safe. It was very unsettling, but we're lucky.
That's so scary.
I earned my mommy margarita today.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it crazy, though? Like, because the kids, nobody got hurt. That might not even be a report you had heard. Your child might not even tell you if the school wasn't calling you saying, hey, they need a ride. But for you, you're traumatized. You're going to remember that the rest of your life. It freaks you out. But the kids, they might not even bring it up.
They do the active shooter drills at my daughter's school. They sent an email, it was like last year, about it. They talk that they do it regularly. And like Hayden had never, ever mentioned it to me. And I was like, do you do these drills? And she's like, oh, yeah. And she it was so matter of fact about where they go and hide and what they have to do. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like at some point she should have mentioned that to me, right? It's scary.
Well, that's the crazy thing. Scary as it is.
It's scary.
That's their fire drill now.
Right.
That's one of the normal things that they have to be doing. So you didn't go home and tell your parents about your fire drills because it was normal to you.
Natalia, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, this week I was consistent with my working out, and that hasn't happened in over a year, so I'm going to have 2 margaritas.
Congratulations.
Yeah, big week.
Yeah.
Big week. The first week you're back and you did it the whole week, and tequila, no calories. Good for weight loss, as they say.
I would be thinking, like, if I worked out all week, I'm gonna enjoy a pizza. That's what I'm going to do, celebrate.
See, I never understood that. Some people, they go nuts on the cheat day. And it's like, to me, like, just, you know, be a little bit more consistent on the weekend. My wife does this. She does great all week, and then she'll eat whatever one day of the week. Like, if you eat like an elephant one day of the week, like, really, is that working well with the other 6 days you ate? You know, you ate you did good?
Some people it works for. Like, I mean, I know that there's a lot of different diets that let you have that. This is so ironic that we're having this conversation because I've already seen you eat multiple donuts.
I told you, it doesn't start for me. My week that's coming up, my week is in 2 weeks. After man camping, then that's what I'm going to have this week.
Raven says he has 2 weeks to eat anything he wants.
That's right.
Who does that? Enjoy your margarita.
Thank you.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
It's We're Getting Married Week on Couples Court. All engaged couples having small disagreements leading up to their big day. Johnny and Megan, you know what? Johnny, let's start with you. What's the problem?
So, wedding's coming up soon, and my problem is with the maid of honor choice of my wife, Megan. I am sorry to say it, I just cannot stand her best friend. I don't want her to be the maid of honor. We had a situation a couple years ago where we broke up. I had an argument. She was talking behind my back. She was putting me down. She's never been nice to me. I get that she's Megan's best friend, but if she wants to be a bridesmaid, fine. It just seems like someone who's always mean to me and who I cannot stand shouldn't be on the altar with us.
That is interesting. Megan, what's your side of this?
She's my best friend. She's been my best friend since I was six. And she's always had my back. So, yes, I get that they don't necessarily vibe super well. But, you know, it's my wedding, too. And she had my back when we broke up. I told her everything that went down. And so she was on my side. And I can't help that maybe she kept a little bit of a grudge. We've talked about it. She's doing better. So, I mean, she has to be my maid of honor. I don't know what else to say.
Did you already ask her? Like, are you demoting her? Is that what you want, Johnny? Or Megan, have you not asked her yet?
No, we've already solidified our bridal party, so it would be a demotion.
I mean, I don't know what difference that makes anyways. If you're best friends since you were six, I mean, it's implied, right? I mean, at a certain point, you're feeling it. I don't know. This is difficult because, on the one hand, she is your friend. You had a whole life before you met Johnny, and this is about the union of you two coming together. On the other hand, you know, if you look at the real true purpose, the reason why you have a bridal party up there, if we look at the tradition of it, these are supposed to be people that are not only your friends, but they're going to support you in your marriage. And the feeling that you've got a friend who, frankly, you know, you feel like has it out for you, it's not a good feeling.
Actually, bridesmaids in the old days were selected to trick the evil spirits into not knowing which one was getting married so they wouldn't steal her.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh. So I'm not sure if that plays into this, but
right.
You know
so
what?
She is a maid of honor up there actually is really bait for the demon.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Johnny, that this is a woman that clearly doesn't care very much for you. She's made it very clear, and you find it uncomfortable for her to be up on the altar on your wedding day. And Megan, tell her she's got to go in the pew with everybody else. But they may see your side too, Megan. She's already your maid of honor. She's your best friend. She already has that title. You can't demote her.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's We're Getting Married Week on Couples Court. All engaged couples having disagreements leading up to the big day. Now, Johnny and Megan, it's not really a problem they have with each other. The problem is that Johnny can't stand Megan's best friend, who also happens to be her maid of honor. And Johnny's like, listen, I get it. You guys have been best friends since you're six, but she talks a lot of trash about me. She's never been supportive of our relationships and the ups and downs, and I don't want her up on the altar when we give our vows.
Yeah, he's even cool with just make her a regular bridesmaid. Don't have her standing right next to you. I don't want that. I don't want that to be a part of this moving forward here. She got in the way when we were broken up for a while before. I understand that you're still going to be together, but this is our wedding day. That includes me.
But can you demote a maid of honor? Can you even do that? She's already been asked. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I say get rid of her. She's a curse.
Okay.
It's one way. One way to deal with it. Yeah.
It's concise, right? Then you don't have to worry about any of this. Okay. Get rid of the bridesmaid or get rid of the bride?
Bridesmaid.
Okay.
That's how it works. Get rid of the bride.
I needed clarity. Thank you.
I like he called her a curse. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. It's We're Getting Married Week on Couples Court. It's all engaged couples that are having disagreements leading up to the big day. Johnny and Megan, everything is fine except for one thing. Johnny can't stand Megan's best friend, who also happens to be her maid of honor. And he says, I don't want her on the altar. I don't want her to be your maid of honor. I want you to demote her to either a regular bridesmaid or out altogether. She's never been nice to me.
Yeah, plenty of people that have been in a relationship know what it's like to hate the other person's best friend, right? I mean, we've all been through that before. But Johnny feels like this is more personable. They had a situation where they had broken up for a couple months before, he and Megan. And at that time, obviously, the best friend put a big wedge in there, and she wasn't friendly when they got back together. He says, this is our wedding day. I don't want somebody who's whispering in your ear nasty stuff about me.
What do you think? Can you demote a maid of honor to a bridesmaid? 1-800-330-9999. Janine, whose side are you on?
Well, this is kind of a hard one. I believe that she should be able to choose whoever she wants as her maid of honor. But if her maid of honor does not support her in her decision to marry Johnny, then she may have to rethink her best friend status with her.
Hi, Dizette. Whose side are you on today?
I am really neutral. I'm feeling like she should have a sit-down. Megan should have a sit-down with her best friend and her groom-to-be. They should work it out, and she should let them know. She shouldn't give them an ultimatum because she was both of their friends. But she should let them know. I love both of you, and her friend should understand the relationship she's about to go into. As you all mentioned, the bridal party are the people who's going to make sure everything's okay in your relationship. Tell both of them.
I agree, because at some point you have to address the situation. They're both important people in her life.
Greg, whose side are you on today?
I am on both of their sides. If they're getting married, I think that the groom has to really hash it out with the bridesmaid. They need to have a one-on-one. You know, historically in their relationship, the bridesmaid has always supported the bride, and that's what she should have done. But now that they're getting married, she needs to come forth. The groom and her need to hash things out of what's occurred in the past and know that the bridesmaid is going to support the union now, right? Support the union of two people in marriage.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Megan, our audience agreed with you. You can't demote your best friend. Now, Johnny, you could be a grown-up and have a conversation with her and say, listen, clearly at some point we've had some, you know, issues, but at this point moving forward, I want us to be a united front. That seems like the more grown-up thing to do than trying to kick her out of the bridal party.
I'm not sure that's on him versus it's on your friend, but I don't know.
Everybody needs to step up.
Would think so. That would be the best way to handle it. You going to be all right, John?
Yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, I think I just got to remember that I love Megan, and I'm getting married to her for a reason, so I guess I can let bygones be bygones this one time.
Mm-hmm. Just throw back another glass of champagne. Look right past
her. Oh, yeah.
Right past her. Megan, you've got to be relieved.
Absolutely. I think if we look at it as an opportunity for growth, then everything will be fine.
Oh, you better have a talk with your girlfriend. Good luck.
If you have a problem too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,500 thanks to HelloFresh. I've learned that my busy fall schedule does not mean I have to compromise on wholesome, delicious meals. Get 65% off plus free shipping with code ANNA65 at HelloFresh.com/ANNA65. Linda, you ready to win some money?
I am ready to win some money.
Okay, I need you to get all five. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Leave the room, Raven.
Sure. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. So here's how it works. He's walking out of here. When that door closes, he's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you these five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, and he gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, but if you could beat him, this money's all yours, okay?
All right.
Okay, I need you to get these all, because if you get them all, you will take him down without a doubt. Ready?
I am ready.
Number one, Broadway's Beetlejuice will perform its last show in January of 2023. What actor played Beetlejuice in the 1988 movie?
Michael Keaton.
Number two, Kanye West said he has never read a book his entire life, and he compared it to eating Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts got their name from Brussels, which is the capital of what country?
Belgium.
Number three, Julian's Auction House is hosting a Betty White auction this weekend. How old was she when she passed away last year?
100.
Number four, according to New Science, there are 20 quadrillion ants in the world. What 1998 Pixar animated film starred Dave Foley voicing the character Flick, an ant that is in charge of protecting his colony from evil grasshoppers?
Oh, I know this one. Can't think of it.
That's okay.
Ants.
Number five, a boat belonging to Rodney Dangerfield's character in the 1980 comedy classic Caddyshack is for sale for $349,900. What was Rodney's catchphrase? You know this one, too.
I do know this one, too.
Time's up. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay.
Ed, I blew a Caddyshack question.
2 out of 5 for Linda.
Oh, $2,500. All that bragging. Let's see how I do.
Number one.
Oh, boy.
Broadway's Beetlejuice will perform its last show in January of 2023. What actor played Beetlejuice in the 1988 movie?
Michael Keaton.
Yes. Number two, Kanye West said he never read a book in his entire life and compared it to eating Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts got their name from Brussels, which is the capital of what country?
It's Belgium.
Yeah, you guys are tied at two. Number three, Julian's Auction House is hosting a Betty White auction this weekend. How old was she when she passed away last year?
She was 99.
She was 99. She was 1 month shy of her 100th birthday. Also, you know, I wanted to buy something. I'm a huge Betty White fan. I went to the auction. Everything is already out of my price range.
Of course.
I know.
You're a regular person, Anna.
All right, number four. According to a new science research, there's 20 quadrillion ants in the world. What 1998 Pixar animated film starring Dave Foley, he voiced the character Flick, is about an ant that's in charge of protecting his colony from evil grasshoppers?
A Bug's Life?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I never thought you would know that. Look at producer Sean's face. He can't believe it either.
Yeah.
Number five,
Who's the voice?
Dave Foley. Number five, the boat belonging to Rodney Dangerfield's character in the 1980 comedy classic Caddyshack is for sale for $349,900. What was Rodney's catchphrase?
I get no respect. No respect, I tell you.
I don't get no respect. Close enough. I'm sorry, Linda. He beat you 5-2. I can't believe that he knew the Bug's Life.
It's Linda, and I can't beat Raven.
$2,600 Monday, Anna. Enjoy that shirt, girl. Better luck next time.